I'm very thankful for some of the reaction, especially from you, Ron, from this morning. So I hope we can make things, communicate a few things better. Oh, no. This afternoon we're going to talk about equipping contact staff. And once again, this whole situation is done in the context of our Dutch ministry. So I like to start off to explain a bit about our situation so we get first a picture where we are. So when I start to go how we're going to do it, so don't look in your notes yet at the handout, wait a minute, it is not now necessary to see, we go in a moment. So you have first a picture in what context and environment we are talking about equipping of contact staff. We have, in six universities, we have a ministry that are in between 50 and 70 guys. I skip out the girls for the afternoon, just a matter of convenience. They are there, and we are very much involved with them, too, but I don't like to touch on that this afternoon. And so when a contact staff comes on staff, he has to take over a ministry with, most of the time, already 50 guys. So there's a full-fledged ministry with the whole scope of converts, growing Christian disciples, and disciple-makers. And it varies the situation, how they are in number-wise, but he takes over a full ministry. So it could mean that when we talk about contact staff, that you have to think, in some cases, more about reps. That's first of all. The second thing, we have a country, as Gert mentioned this morning, that's very small. I live just in the center of Holland, that's in Utrecht, and we come together in Utrecht with our whole staff team every 14 days. The farthest has to drive 2 hours to come there. Most of the others only 1 hour. So that makes it possible for us that this whole team comes together every 14 days for 1 day. So you can see what that means in light of interaction. And this has stimulated very much the idea of making use of the team. I'm personally very much sold on the team concept, where the peer interaction is very important and very key of sharpening one another. So when I talk about training staff, it's not that I do all the training myself. So much is done just by training one another. And that's, we have these days, every 14 days, and then in September and in January, we will have 3 or 4 days in a row where we discuss our plans. And I'm going to share quite a bit about that this afternoon, because there comes in a few of our tools. But I'd like to touch one moment more about this team concept, that although in each country is different, and the size especially determines a lot, still this is, to me, a key concept in training my staff, that we come together and sharpen one another. So they create an atmosphere of working together, respecting one another, loving one another, a spiritual fellowship where really interaction can take place. And so I have, of course, to stimulate that. And so I have to prepare in such a way that by putting forth all kind of questions, they will need to interact on it, and they will challenge one another. And that's very normally that we like to challenge one another, and that's also an atmosphere, perhaps it is quite a bit Dutch, but also an atmosphere you have to create. And that's what we're doing very much, to create an atmosphere to interact with one another. Also in light of this, in this whole thing, in this team concept, when I'm going to visit an area, I most of the times will take one other staff with me, and sometimes even two. So then all at once we're together with 3 or 4 staff men in one area. So these men see each other's ministries. So when the plans are being discussed, they know what they're talking about, how the other situation is. So they really can make comments and questions, and why do you do this? And I saw that guy, how is he doing? And it's really not only just very general, but specific questions can be made towards one another. So in this kind of environment, I am talking about training and equipping my staff. Then I'd like to touch on again about this illustration this morning that we're talking about. We started off this morning that we like to influence this inner heart, not outward things only. And this is not only a matter for the young Christian, not only for the disciple maker, as much as it is also for the staff. They have to start also from inner sides, not conformity to outward navigator things. So that must be my challenge all the time, as the whole day is again. We have done this morning, Gert has done it, just to try to stimulate our thinking. We have to build in new inner thoughts and from get some, it needs only to be one or two important things that reach down here today that will influence our thoughts, the ideas. You go home, it will hopefully influence your actions. You cannot take any of the things we have presented today or during the whole conference as an action only with you and do it. That wouldn't work. So this afternoon also, I like only to share some thoughts how we use a few tools, but I hope to communicate where the heart is behind it. And by giving you an example, I think I can communicate it more easily. So one of my main objectives always is, how can I stimulate the thoughts life of my staff, and that they find scriptural ground, practical things, and stimulate it and let that stimulate to one another. Now first of all, I'd like to touch this afternoon on three topics. I gave you two handouts we'll discuss as the last part. First I'd like to talk about that I hope to influence my staff on the right perspective of their job. The right perspective of their job. Each of the men gets a job description. I think you will do the same in your situation. You will give them a job description. In that job description are a few things, like some assignments for his personal development, gives some clarification about relationships, in matter how he relates, for instance, to me as a leader, to the whole organization, to the peers, to the guild workers. In the job description will be a note about some general objectives of where I restate with some new words the objectives of the navigator work. And I give them an assignment in the job description about building and working on their own personal convictions. That's because I like to read it. Let's read it. That makes it easier. I have written this once to Dirk in a letter. In light of the staff development, I mentioned there is more than just do the ministry and you will grow. That seems to be one of our concepts. That's only do the ministry and you will grow. There's more to that. There must be an emphasis on building convictions about ministry and life. The privilege to be full-time is the extra time you get to work on these convictions. It is a privilege to be full-time, and because of that privilege, you have to take time out of that privilege to build your own convictions and get deeper insights and so on. It's so easily that we get, do such a lot of work all the time, even in the student work, but somehow we need to take that time, and that I put in the job description already. You have to work on very practical convictions. Now, convictions about evangelism, convictions about establishing, about equipping. We have to study it and to get a hold of it and to think and work on the how-tos. There are assignments for Gary, how to do it. Here the staff must work it out and then interact with his peers about it. So, because we believe in on-the-job training, there is a need to seriously interact with peers and leaders for sharpening these convictions and practices in the ministry. But then, I like to touch on this word, your perspective of your job. So only we mentioned a few aspects of the job description. But take, for instance, two medical doctors. And they are there. They have the same job description. They are both as intelligent, equal intelligent, and know as much from their job as the other. Still, the people like to go to the one doctor and they don't like to go to the other. Why? It has to do with their conviction how to go about their whole job. There is some perspective in their hearts, in their minds, that determines this. For instance, one can think only in terms of medical treatments. And people most probably wouldn't like that man too much. The other medical doctor has a perspective of the total man. He will be loved because he likes to understand. And that's also in our navigator work. Everyone can have the same job description. Still, how do you really view it? How do you go about your whole responsibility? What do you view as your task? And I find it hard to give the right words to it, but let's look at a further scripture that helps me very much on this. That has to do with Acts 20. There's a passage that I use very much because Paul gives a review of his whole ministry there in this passage of Acts 20, with a lot of principles I feel are very applicable to our ministry. But you are, of course, very familiar with this verse in Acts 20:28, where it says, "Guard yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Guard yourselves, that was already part of his job description, and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And that's the thing I like to help my men to see, that they need to be overseers of the whole flock. And this is just the whole flock they are involved in. And of course it sounds very familiar, but I like here to say an extra word. Because I've seen different approaches in this. We are so oriented, because of our vision, to reproduce people, that we can sometimes tend to say, no, I am not overseer over the whole flock, I am actually only overseer of my team. And my team needs to be overseer of the rest of it. And that I feel that in some cases I got the impression that the main focus only was the team. But that's a matter of how you go about it. That's a matter how you, in the whole flock, believe could be work on the best way. It's in a way a method, it's a method within overseeing the whole flock as efficiently in light of some objectives you have. Therefore, I challenge them to have influence, what I call, on every level. Not only on the team level, the staff men, here's a staff man. But also get some way of getting to know the young converts. Some way of standing at the gate of your ministry. Some way of being as soon as possible at least familiar with the face and a little about the person. Because you are the overseer. By the way, this is very interesting in light of what we discussed this morning. Here we discussed the concept of your ministry, while this morning we were discussing so much his ministry. There we see a big change in this perspective of your job. So Aaron Post must have a total different way of perspective on his job than at the moment he's in student work. Because this is his whole ministry. And we have worked on and prayed for that this man really believes that the Holy Spirit has put him in this place of overseeing just this student flock he's entrusted. Because he believes, and we believe, that this is Lord's plan for him, he needs really to carry this responsibility, that although I'm the leader of the staff, I'm not the leader of these ministries. I lead my staff. I influence them how to do this and how to think about it. I come in sometimes to see how it is working, but I never come in to make under them decisions with their men. That's to me a very key thing, that I never go to one of the team members and discuss how something has to be arranged in this area and make a decision with him. I never will do it. And very easily we can do it. To step over this man's head, we may influence over there, but never make decisions with these men, because it is his responsibility. And I advise him. Sometimes I give a strong advice, but that's it. And it has to do also with my perspective on my how I view my job. Oh yeah, he can give me strong advice, but if he has put me in a responsibility, somehow he has to get away with it. he can only say, I discharge you. That I can do also with my son. I could say, I just discharge you, but... Sorry?
Would the same thing then apply? You said that you won't bypass your staff.
Right.
Are you saying the staff person shouldn't bypass the team?
There's just the difference comes in. You see, because this man, he is responsible for this whole. These men are just in his ministry. And so he is the one who very directively is influencing the whole thing and organizing the thing. I don't talk about how he will do it. Of course he will train his staff, because he has a certain vision how to do it. He likes to make them as mature as possible. So he, as depends on maturity, he will come and say, man, how do you feel we will organize a thing? What would be the best for this work group members? What would be the best for his Bible study group members? But finally, he is the one who's in charge, and he has to take the responsibility. I never will blame one of his team members for what's happening in the ministry. I have to go to him. And he has to believe, this is the task God has given me. And to me, it happens what I just said, Lee, that I have sometimes the impression that in some cases we have put on this team level, actually with the responsibility for this whole thing. And they are not mature enough to carry that load, and they are perhaps not even called to do it. Therefore comes in for me a very crucial point, that a staff man is much different from just a team member, although it's such a good team member, and we entrust him a lot, still we hold him a very different way responsible for what he's doing. So this is the first thing I try to communicate with them. I've written it in his job description. I go over it with him a few times. We have a paper where we try to explain it with him, that he gets really familiar with what is my responsibility. Also in this verse of Acts 20:28, it is stated that we have to feed the flock. So I feel that a staff man, in light of this words and other words from Scripture, needs to find a way that he will organize every person with the possibility of having healthy spiritual input. Yeah.
Do you define work group as you're using
it? Yeah, short. Can we later on go into it, perhaps? That's just a detail. So he needs to organize, and that means sometimes that now it's a nice triangle I have put over here, but you can create all kinds of straight things. Organization setup must be a help for the people. People mustn't fit organization, the organization must fit the people. So we will see in a moment an illustration I have taken with me, there we see an organization structure that is not nice, but it was the most helpful for the people. So that's very key. Also in this passage of Scripture, from Acts 20. Yeah? Oh, I thought someone. about using this word helpful, I like very much verse 20 in this passage where it is stated, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful for you. So there again, here is not what's interesting. What does he believe all? You so easily start to talk all about the things you believe, the things you know, instead of the things that are helpful for the people. I like that word very much there. I preach about the things that are helpful. Helpful, and I did it in public. I did it from house to house. And in verse 31 it is stated, I did it from person to person. So we see the three main inputs, large, small, private. It doesn't state how much in one, how much in the other, to you, in your situation. And so within this whole frame, yes, again, within this whole frame, the way we organize it is based on a vision of reproduction. Therefore, you select some people to come on the team, and then the work group is just that's on in between a committed learner and a ministering disciple. You like to get him on this way to be really part of the ministry, and invite him for a small Bible study group with a task, especially for evangelism. So in this small work group concept, in these work groups, they are training in evangelism. And in a team, it's most of the time, in a team, there are team members, most of the time, or be leading these work groups, or leading Bible study groups. And in a Bible study group, it's just Bible study. But here is Bible study, and here is Bible study in this level. We do the staff together. On all levels is Bible study together. But in the same group you do Bible study, you have also a part of the evening, you give yourself in developing your skills and insights and around evangelism. A lot of prayer has been done over there for all the people you contacted and so on. So it's an in-between of Bible study and team. And it depends on the size of the ministry if it's possible to organize it that way, but we like that, so it's a kind of little step up and before you go to the team. So this was the first point. I had questions about it, how I tried to equip, to bring them in a certain way of looking upon their job, how to do it, how to think about it, pray over it, how to organize things with...
Well, that same thought that you have about that staff man being responsible for everyone in his operation.
Yeah.
What does that LT stand for?
That's my name. Sorry, the situation.
Now, do you in the same way then see that everyone in your sphere, that you are responsible for everyone? So you've got five staff people.
Right.
Do you feel that the same way?
I feel I'm responsible for these men.
Yeah,
right.
Not for the... Yeah.
So, I...
For their families.
Yeah, so they're in their families, but as
the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you the overseer.
Right. And here I feel related to,
yeah.
And I'm helping these and supporting these. And then comes in just the things from the community work. I give support activities to these. I give sometimes equipping activities to these. But he hasn't. He believed. He trusted God that he was assigned to be this leader and the man in charge for this ministry. So I can carry the load of taking the whole country because I feel responsible for these men and their training and I'm very much up to date what's happening over here, that I tell you. It's not that just this vague and I'm up to date.
Do you know some of the people in that?
Now, last year I was a bit in the middle, but till last year I knew, I think, everybody from here at least in the whole country. Team and work group, yeah. So, and I will explain how that comes about in a moment when we go over the handouts, because there is some of the secrets how I can do that way.
You are giving
these equipping activities and supporting activities to the whole flock.
Right.
So where will the training for the staff come in? Yeah, training the staff.
Yeah, and training the staff. Yeah, so I help them sometimes. I'm not providing a whole set. Sometimes I come in to equip on, for instance, a summer training program. That is a means of doing it.
No, the staff does the work.
Yeah.
I think that perhaps is a bit confusing.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
To you to mix too much like this morning. It is the, what's the same is the responsibility is the same. They are both mature people. But the staff is responsible for their ministry.
Right. I only can come in as a resource.
Yeah.
That's what I like to say more. That's
just for clarification, is that staff, are they ARs or contact staff we're talking about?
Yeah, in our situation, that makes no difference. So therefore, the selection of these men is very crucial, of course.
Yeah.
No, that was not. There's no other workshop about that point. Okay. Is it? So again, this came from this idea very much. This here that to start getting these insights from here, then we go into planning, and then he goes to his ministry in doing it. Okay, let us go to this, our handouts. And these are two tools I have here. We use to structure, in a way, their thinking. And it happened that just 1.5 years ago, we had a staff meeting where we have to make our plans in English. So I took out of my file just a plan from 1978 from José Hiemstra. We only change a few words in light of the English or in light of the more typical Dutch words. That's it, just a literal example. So don't go into details of the plan, but we go through the points we try to cover and why. There are three sheets of paper, and we take only the first two. That is the plan he gives. And this plan has two parts. The first page is the general page. So let's start with the general page, where it states Leiden, September till December 1978. So a guy like José, who is in charge of this ministry, has to sit down, think through, pray over what has been the strength of my ministry till over the last period of time. So he starts to think very positive what the Lord has accomplished in his ministry. He tries to come up with some of the needs. When these plans are ready, he will hand it out, by the way, in the team to all of the staff. So these are not just little statements. They are can be challenged very strongly by the others of the peer group, by me who have visited his area. So he has really to think about these strengths and needs. Then under point three, there comes a thing that's more new perhaps, the first two are more familiar, is the trend. What do we mean by the word trend? When I view the Navigator ministry as such as a student work, it's very complex. There are so many things to cover. We need to be in the Word, we need to pray, we need to evangelize, establish, to build, to select, to have open big meetings. We have to touch on practical areas of life in boy-girl relationship, and so on, and so on. Hundreds of things we need to do, all at once, nearly. It's such a broad scope we're trying to cover all the time. And you cannot do that all the time at once. So, these trends help you to formulate a few main aspects you'd like to cover on this fall, and knowingly you skip away a few others, but you put already, man, I don't forget a few issues. Next spring I hope to cover more on that point. This autumn is evangelism, springtime more evangelism. This autumn more on the developing of my team. Next spring is another topic. But then not only, like here, our ministry year starts in September and ends in June, so the first two parts in the trend cover this whole year. But then comes this challenge to already now start to think what could be over the summer next year. Because the summertime in our ministry is a big thing. Many people leave the student work during that time. So it is very key to start to think, what are some major changes, most probably next summer? Which people out of the ministry will leave because they graduate? That has already now influenced how I'm going to plan on my team, how I'm going to train some of the men. That you really try to foresee just a little perspective what will be after the summer next year. And that can be a hard question to answer, and not everyone is that gifted to do it, but still to plan in light of the future also, not only what has been done, what is needed now, but also in light of the future. That's what we're trying to put in these three aspects of the trends. Then we go to the figures. This is a summary from the third handout, we will see later. And this consists of two parts. First, what is called the structure of the group. The structure of the group. And second, it is the fruit of the ministry. I like especially to use the word fruit, not the word production. I like to use the word expectation, like is stated in the second column. Because there are words that convey it is a work of grace, conveys it is a work of faith with expectation. So therefore I like to put in these words expectation and fruit of the ministry instead of production. Sorry? Why do I put in ask for the structure of the group? Because that explain so much why someone will organize the way he's doing it. If you have a big team with a lot of DMs, or if you have only one or two, that makes all the difference. That can answer some of the questions about the results of the ministry. That also demonstrates how much work the men will have to do. Because, for instance, there will be in one season, there could be 20 come to know the Lord. Yeah, what does the figure 20 say? Is it a big blessing or is a relative small number? It depends so much what is your workforce, how is the whole structure of the ministry, which people are in there. And that's what he tries to put down in figures around the reality of the structure of the group, divided in growing Christians, disciples and disciple makers. So like Jose started in 1 September 1978, with 70 people in his ministry. That's a lot of people. And so you know already, a lot of his energy is already gone in the 70 before he can do really anything. That helps to see what's his job all about. Then in light of fruit of the ministry, there you see what have been the results over last year and what are some of the expectations. I like, again, to touch on this word expectation. How do we use these figures? In our other group, I mentioned that we use the figures only as a means of registration, not as a means for planning, as a means of registration. What has happened, how it most probably will look like. So it's not that I say, Jose, you put in 16 converts for the autumn, if you don't have them, you fail. It has nothing to do with that. Only to help him to think, what I'm going to pray for? What can I expect with the setting I have in the ministry? What could be a realistic expectation? And how does it influence already my work after Christmas when I get 60 new converts? Then I have to pray and look for and select at least 3 or 4 Bible study group leaders this autumn. Do we need some extra training for them already before they can do it next spring? And this kind of questions, that's the way he needs to use these figures. That's clear? So, and then the last Linus team members, and sometimes it's especially put under the new team members or the ones we expect to become team members, but it wasn't in this one. Is that clear? That gives quite an overview of the whole situation in general. So we have already a picture, where is Jos standing, what is his responsibility, how does he feel about the general trends, not specifics, but the general things that has to come out for the coming time. No questions about that. So then we go to the second page of his... that's more in detail what's going to happen just these coming 3 or 4 months. Starts off with a general goal for the ministry. And there you see he has to state the general goal to live with a Bible-based thinking. Theme first, Colossians 12, Romans 12, 2. What do we mean by Bible-based thinking? Some expectations. How it will look like. Expectation. Again, these words I'd like to touch on. It is, what does he believe? What is he going to pray for? He's going to pray for that the reaction of people show that they are using a verse of scripture to one another, to them, and thankfulness in positive and negative situations. Now, just a few general things. They're of course, very general, because when you talk about a goal for 70 people, it has to be general. But this will general things will influence what topics he is going to cover on the general meetings, on the open evenings, as oftentimes we say. Here, look at the main activities, one open evening per month. Okay, this topic, an open evening, general meeting. In general meeting, everyone can come, the whole ministry and their friends. Yeah, a rally, okay, yeah, thank you. And out of Romans 12:2 will come his topics for these nights. Because he feels and believes that is the thing I like to cover this autumn. Some workshops he's going to have. And in such a staff meeting, he will explain who are there on his workshops. But on these workshops, there's a difference in work groups. And like here, we have a workshop. These workshops can be a selection just out of the whole ministry. So that is the way Jose tries to influence a different level than only his team level in the ministry, during his workshops. So on the big rally, he is influencing the whole ministry. On the workshops, he is influencing a selected group of the ministry. And every week, he will have his team influence more and most in depth his team level. So this is the way how he tries to accommodate influence on each level. And that's, in my thinking, an important key for the student work. Then the second point, the wheel. That's only put there as a reminder. So think of what activities under the 4 spokes of the wheel you have in your ministry. Just a general note, not a big thing, because the main emphasis is stated in point 1. The wheel has to function in your ministry. There has to be fellowship, word, prayer. And so you just get a little idea. Oh yeah, there are weekly prayer meetings, fellowships. You say, where is the witnessing here in this wheel situation? I have forgotten to point out that's point 5. On point 5, this time he has an extra assignment to go in more in depth about evangelism. That's the last part of his page. That's only the reminder to help him think along the line, do I not forget some main aspects in the ministry? And then, because the team is in light of our objectives as navigators, the key place for training, that are the key men of his ministry, therefore always this question, what's the plan for your team? A goal, some expectations, some activities.
Evangelism, Lawrence. Normally, yeah. that under the wheel is evangelism, but this time you have asked everybody to make a specific emphasis.
Right. So that point 5 is always an open topic that I assign for each staff meeting. I give an assignment. Give some extra under, in this time it was evangelism, or give some extra under selection of your men, or give some extra under how do you build in one of your men. So that depends on the situation. And when I was correcting, there's a mistake of mine, I had put under the wheel, under witnessing, C.5. But it has to be only a little note in under point two, just as a reminder, you go over all the aspects. And don't forget out one. Then organization chart, and there you see this organization chart, as I mentioned, there is this upper line of names, and there is a line under it. He had organized it in two levels, his ministry, because of the situation. It was the most helpful to the man he had, so then work in two levels. It has advantages and disadvantages. Okay, next term we'll see a different chart. What has changed? In this chart, it is not mentioned what each man is having, or it is a work group or a Bible study group. It is normally it would be put there too. So this is only an overview as a tool of structured thinking in light of some things behind the whole ministry, behind the way he has to view his task, and to put it into a few words. That's one of the main tools for equipping the staff. Is that a question about this first?
In the staff meetings, they talk, for instance, about, okay, prayer, weekly prayer meeting. Then they say, now, Foster, how do you do it?
Right.
And then they learn from one another, well, we do it 7 o'clock and sports. So that's...
Yeah, and then you get that interaction, and because behind every of these words is a little plan and our dates. But I don't like to be bogged down on these meetings with all this information on these sheets, and you get a long list of information. No one is interested.
How long does it take to go over this? Like when Gosse presents that, how long do you take?
When the time available, well, we like at least to take 1.5 hours. And especially when we start off with the meetings, the first 2-3 plans take at least 2-2.5 hours to discuss. Because a lot of interaction starts to go on then. How do you do it? Why do you do that and not that? And what did you learn last autumn about now? And there it goes. And why this man over here? Why Shark? Man, I saw Shark last summer, and then they get on. I thought he was just a bit weak of this and that, and now you put him in charge of a team. Man, how you can do it now? And then he has to come back on the motives and so on. And there's really sharpening on, I tell you. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a real fun spirit and learning spirit. And when you go over these plans and you have made it 1, 2, 3 times, then you get real in it. So most of the times, when there's a young staff man who comes on staff, I will try to go over this with him personally. And the second time, he has to do it on his own, and then he gets a lot of critique. And the third time, he will be quite on his way already. So that's the way of going about it.
Yeah. How often do you have to do this?
2 times a year. And the main session is in September, because that gives the best overview for the whole year. And the January session is more updating, than you have to type out it all over again. But that's not that heavy. It's only a continuation of your plan you have had presented in September. But then we take so a few days for going over all these plans from one another. And we get a lot of ideas from one another, you can imagine this way. Then the last page, that's a name list. This is a thing I found over here in the States when I visited in the States in 1975. I got it, I think, from Ellen Andrews, but I'm not really sure. Perhaps you know, one of you. And this has made a real impact in our ministry, I think, this sheet. We preach the basic belief of the importance of every individual. And this sheet helps us to really perform accordingly. Because every individual in his ministry is on the paper. So he will give me this. And we have seen just on the other plan the figures. And that only has to correspond with the list of names. So you never make a guess in the student work. As we talked this morning, in the community work, everything is vague about numbers. In the student work, I can give you, from the last 3-4 years, each person by name, where he is, what has happened, and so on. So he fills in these names, list of names, and there are some instructions on the backside how to use this list. And this list is the key in helping my staff to really think and pray over men. I come to him, and visiting him. And then the first thing we started off is not with these sheets, but on a personal visit with some other staff. We start most of the time with these sheets. And then we start to talk and to pray over. We pray all over all the names. And how's it with him? You shared the other time he had a girlfriend. What's happening? Oh, and how about his parents? About his study? About how is he doing over here? And that's the way I get up to date with this man. And that's the way I'm so familiar with so many people in the country, because I use all the time these names, and I take myself time to pray over at least a disciple makers list to be up to date. So, and this is the way to really go with my men about having concern for people. Because when I start to talk with him, I hope he will do the same with his men and his team already. But then we start to go sometimes on a few people in depth. His background, his study, his Christian walk with the Lord, his ministry things. And really to interact on it together. And because most of the time I know the man already, I have also my ideas. Then we sharpen one another about his man. To build all the time a frame of reference how to think about people. How to discern needs, how to have faith for him, and so on. And so this sheet is, for me, I forget the figures most of the time. They're only in the planning sessions. And so sometimes people come and ask me all kinds of figures I don't know. I have them all everywhere in my notes. But these are the things I'm working with. These are, for me, the key. And I all the time stimulate them to work with names, with people in mind. We live for people.
This is filled in by the staff man himself.
Right. Right. And this is
so when you visit Lawrence, then you take the list you have.
Yeah.
And then you take the other lists. And now, where did he go? So you, why did he disappear?
Right.
Then you start to talk.
Yeah. I've written a letter to my staff. I figured out all the names of the Christian converts that had skipped out the next list. So they were a bit surprised that out of all the list I could figure out all the names. There was no one could leave without knowing it. And there it was. Now, okay, explain why. So are the reasons we have to learn in our evangelism and our establishing of the man? And to sharpen one another. And also the last column gives the list of who left our ministry positively. Not the ones who, some reason, had problems, or with the Lord, or with her, whatsoever. These names don't appear again. I can trace them down very quickly. But here is a column where they leave. Yeah, they go in the military. They go to the captain's club. They go to a church. So I can figure out where most of our men have gone.
So.
So, no, yeah, they write it down. But converts who, when they leave, it is, sorry to say, most of the time not positive. That's an exception. But it can happen that they have just to move, for instance, and or try in with another ministry of ours, another situation. So it is mentioned.
On the building convictions of on ministry and life.
Right.
Is this the main process you go through?
Yes, and there are more things we have on it, but these are two real key tools in equipping how to do the ministry, and that we're talking about especially. To equip them for the ministry, to take their responsibility, how they view their task, how they make their plans for this whole thing, how they live as people. That's
now, Lawrence, every other week you come together, and in the morning you have Bible study with them, and in
right.
the afternoon you do something else.
Right.
Now, what do we do then?
What do we do then? That's very, all the time, the changes, but for instance, over the last period of time, we have gone through topics out of the FOM. Just a few weeks ago, I repeated again with them how to give messages, how to prepare them, how to deliver them. We take a lot of time, for instance, in discussion around how to organize our summer activities. So not only just the organizational matter of it, but also, again, the thinking process behind why we like to put emphasis on organizing it this way and not otherwise, you never get interaction. Each one has to come up for his men or girls. And so that kind of issues come up all the time. And sometimes we have a guest coming over. And
yeah, you don't have any kind of a a set of things in, like, say, life, character, ministry that you want to make sure that they're somewhat adept at. You take, in other words, the basis for your sessions, is it as needs arise, or is there, for say, each contact staff, you want to make sure that they're somewhat proficient in each of the areas of
the course. I don't want to say that I have a complete syllabus of all kind of topics I cover. I cover a lot of systematic, a few topics. That's and then I make personal plans for the staff. So which I feel is needed for the men personally when I visit them. Right.
On the back of your...
Yeah?
Instructions for explanation, item 3, make mention about a person's name when you expect them to go to the next column. Do you do that in the column?
Yes, most of the times that they... So that gives why they plan. So then there comes a figure over here. So no, they don't think how many people I would like to see become disciple. No, they go to this list and think, could this man become a disciple next summer? If so, I make a note of just an asterisk. And so there comes the number. I say, why? Where are the 16? Or where are the 10? And so it is geared. It comes from the people, not from our wishes. And even that, we can make mistakes still, but then it gives a more real faith aspect to it in light of the men you have around.
How often do they fill this out?
2 times a year. I got it from here in the States somewhere, but since then we have used it. I'm extremely thankful for it. It has really geared us on much more on the importance of every individual and look for the best of each person.
So do you learn a lot, Lars, also from just seeing that he has names and that he expects everybody to become disciple maker, that you see he has rose-colored glasses and that kind
of... Oh, yeah. And then, because I visit these men, I see them around, and is a reason for it. It's not a bit too much, actually, or that kind of thing comes in. Yeah, Bob Fielder.
On your number 4
right. Alright. What does it mean? That's an administrative matter. Our ministry year ends 31 of August. So 31 of August, effective is June. Although it can happen that during the summer conferences, a few things has been changed. So it's only that 31 is only more for official thing. But it helps him to plan and us to me to understand why his ministry is not growing. Because during the summer, so many has left the situation. So I realized in the springtime, oh man, there are 70, 80 people around. And all at once, it drops. Now that it's in here why and where this changes has come.
So really, that's 31.5 in May, you might say. That's what he has
then. Right. Oh.
Yeah. The way you operate, they may get this during their college, and so when they come to contact staff, they don't need it. But you have, at some point toward the beginning of their contact staff or just before, try to have them do some topical studies or something like on evangelism, establishing, equipping, or something where they take the Bible, come up with their framework, and then from there work out the rest. Or do they, because of your emphasis on the what, and the why, do they get that more in the ministry as you're growing up?
When they're in the ministry. And so if they're more or less mature, for instance, in some areas, you go more often there to help him in working out these kind of things. But the men we select have been quite some time in the team of a staff member. So they are really up to date with the whole thing.
Is your question whether, can you just put that on? I think that Gary's question is, take, for instance, these men. Suppose one becomes a contact staff. I think Gary's question is, do you give this man extra, more than these three, before he becomes a contact staff? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, do they need extra, or would you give them any extra?
Yes, yes, and no, it depends again the situation quite a bit, but what's happening when you work so strong with this team emphasis, it is very natural that someone is above the others. And so he will be the man who even the others start to look to. Also what happens in our student staff team over here. And our peers, and all at once, Jose Himstra comes in charge. Why? They have such a lot of interaction together. All at once they see, here is a man who is far ahead of me. I can learn even more perhaps from him than from me. Because Jose is still doing it. And this happens also in the team level. One of the criteria, as we stated, for selection is he has to be above his peers. And that starts here in his thing. And because of that, he can handle more responsibilities, so he gets bigger assignments from his leader. For instance, during summer conferences or training programs or in the ministry to be the one who trains, takes the training for evangelism. And he trains him more to do that. So,
Can I make an observation? I don't know when you listen to this. Could it be that Gary is asking now what knowledge does he have? And listening to Lawrence, that it seems it is capacity he's looking for. Not extra knowledge, but capacity. You are thinking, now what knowledge do you give him? What has he studied?
In other words, what's the he's been in the collegiate ministry, he's kind of come up, say, like selection, recruiting, he's kind of learned how to do that and got some, but now he's heading towards staff, and how's he going to formulate his whole thinking for, say, selection or recruiting? Is it necessary to just take the Bible, find what the Bible says about selection, and then from there develop his whole process of thinking from his...
Now, that is just because he comes on staff, he is full-time. Therefore, I give his assignments to work in that stage very strongly on this. Because when he's in college time, so involved in the ministry, you have hardly time to give a lot of attention to really expound on that.
Would you just give him, say, a topical study? They just take selection... You know, any of those basic things?
That could be, yeah. So there could be a specific assignment or start off with evangelism. So because he needs to start to build his convictions there where his ministry is. Not theoretical, when it is too far away yet. So if he is ministering in the stage of a lot of evangelism, man, he has to go after it himself. To be the preacher, the motivator, the builder, and he likes everything he can get from everyone. And okay, his establishing will take half a year later, and then he starts to do it. And in the meantime, he knows already a lot about the whole thing, but then he makes it specifically his own.
Well, it's most of your contact staff been team leaders in the ministry before going there.
Yeah. I have a whole building plan. I haven't with me here, but a whole building plan how I go about building in personal time. There's again is a whole plan with questions and principles, and you have to rework yourself every time for this specific person to come up with a definite plan. Yes, and that's what I do. And so I visit my staff, and like for instance, especially this time. I have Pete Bott assisting me. He is now more looking into the ministries itself, because I'm also related to other things, but I visit personally the staff.
Okay, so you have in between your team meetings, you have time with your...
Yeah, so once in a while, not too often, at our as we...
Is there more on personal things?
That depends on the situation, Horst. What are the needs and the things he has to develop? Some of it is only personal, other times it's real, only ministry.
You try to organize that in such a way, like you see, you talk about evangelists and what the staff.
Yeah.
You talk about establishment, you talk about selection, you
yeah.
talk about joining the team together, establishing unity in the area and so forth. But then you notice that one of those five guys is really weak in the area of just managing his finances.
Then you go after it.
And then you go with him personally.
Right. Right.
Maybe with the others you never even.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's. And suddenly I've taken this crew together for 3 days and we studied only a topic together. So I've done about evangelism, I've done about leadership, disciple makers project I've done with so a few of the team. So once in a while I take a topic, we come together and we try to work and remodel things or old models or think new ways of doing it as a team and Kees Ton, but I give a lot of attention to finance in practice, especially when he's on staff, just on staff to hold the whole thinking behind. I give a lot of teaching around the finances and policies in my team, very regularly at least, so they are up to date with it. Not only Kees Ton, more the practical side often to it.
And we have at the office, so and, we can at least 1 or 2 days and get a screen how it works.
Yeah, but then still there are a lot of practical questions they like to ask me then, or Pete Bott who comes along.
While this you're equipping this contact staff, by the time that he's ready to be an area rep, how do you go about deciding whether he's ready to be an area rep?
There are profiles for it, so I check with the profiles, and when he's there, I have accomplished the things that are required, so I.
Okay, so let's take like Navigator Logistics.
What's that? Sorry?
Let's take like ministry, being able to do the ministry.
Right.
Do you have any kind of... how should I say it? Do you have any particular concepts you want to ensure that they have together? Like, do you have any kind of list of things that under ministry or Navigator organizational type things that you want to just think through to ensure that they do understand or do know how to have all these things operating?
Yes, they have demonstrated it with these plans, with the 2-3 years they are working with it, with the visits I made. Yeah, so I have not a long checklist. Yeah, I have a few in my notebook, a few topics I really want to check out in light of the way he thinks. It's again especially I have a whole list of things. What does and questions I can put myself to him in light of the way he's trying to think and doing his thing. And if I feel that's I can live with it, and he has the results required for being an area rep.
So do you put it in form of question like you did on here, rather than just a selection? Rather than having selection, you put in the form of question like you did on this other sheet as far as how to evaluate.
Hmm.
Do you have a question in here? I guess you don't have a question.
Oh. Yeah. And he has, by using always his name lists and asking him, he is demonstrating how he thinks. The heart comes out. So I get a hold of it. And then we go to scripture for it, and why this, and there, in a way, it sounds very pragmatic, as you're on the job training there, a lot. That's at least the way I do it, and within our possibilities. Other questions? Yeah,
okay,
James.
When you visit an area,
right.
Then you've got your statistics which are giving you certain facts which you want to investigate. And you might have something personal with the staff person. Is there anything else that you normally look for as you meet into? I know there would be specific things, but would there be other general things that you would go for, general questions?
Right. Now, it's all in Dutch, sorry, but I have a few pages over here. when you're visiting an area, let's just tackle the topic. A few reasons for visiting an area: to represent the organization, to train and to form and to develop your staff men, to get insight in the area, to influence the area, and just to be present as a person, personal relationship. There are a few topics I stated for myself. And each... in the area, just the inside of the facts. What's the real picture behind it? And then the fourth one I have put, I haven't stated this, it has not to be a real priority all the time, but to influence the area. That can be a choice. Sometimes I only like to come to get insight, the facts. The other time I have something on my heart, I like to go after it and to stimulate the team or to preach on the topic. So that's just every time a choice. And point five, to be present as a person. And in practice, that is one of the first things I try to do. And I share my own thing, and so yeah, just real personal with him, his wife. I most of the time will have some time together, and the first thing to represent the organization. I just take time to talk about what's happening in the country, what are some of the plans I've heard from Gert, to give some more information if I know. To really give him the feel, as much as possible, he is really up-to-date on the in things we're going through. So he is part of it, his openness. And we discuss sometimes one of the other gang and the men of the team. Say, man, yeah, how did you feel about last Friday, what he was sharing over there? And can you agree with him? And I express sometimes my concerns about one of the men and my blessings with them. Or he will have questions. Yeah, what do you think, actually? And then I give some other side of the picture. That kind of a thing. The developing of the staff men. Yeah, the central objective is to influence his thinking. Then to discover his thinking. And then I have 7 points. I don't think I like to go with all the 7 now, if you don't mind. I have a lot of just reminders to myself that I wouldn't forget myself in his ministry, for instance, what's applied well in your ministry? What do we really apply well? What's missing this time?
The Arab world.
How is it with the basics in the ministry? Do they understand the phases, the stages of ministry? Does this man understand it? Is it applied there? Then we have questions around principles in light of reproduction, word of individual. No, there come the basic beliefs. Do I find them somehow applied? Are there general navigator methods we have, are they applied rightly? Like the Bible study, the scripture memory, real illustration, and so 10 points here. In light of the organizational structure, are some things I can check on. Some dangers we have to be aware of all the time. For instance, legalism. Is legalism coming in? Here, for instance, some people you can very easily put under pressure. Is he really taking care of it? So easily somebody takes a guy on your team, he's a promising guy, but you haven't discerned that there's too much emotional unstableness in his life, so you put him under pressure, he gets frustrated. Now, those are dangers, especially when the staff man likes to do big work, of course, and has a lot of faith in his man. there we said, well, I have to come in. Oh, perhaps if you've seen this and that. And that are kind of dangers. General topics, authority of the word, self-acceptance, boy-girl relationship, authority and relationship to parents, good conscience. But there are, there are kind of, this is a private list I use.
This is the way you go about discerning his needs as a person.
Do I have a way for it?
Yeah.
Yes, I have a, what I call a building plan. It's all in Dutch, you see. All in Dutch. The building plan I have in English somewhere. I haven't copied it, but I have, we could copy it if you like. I think some of which I needed should need some explanation, I guess, but we could, if you like, to have it copied. But it's again only a method of thinking. Questions. It's not a list what to cover. Sorry, but equipping contact staff. This is the way we try to do. And
that's significant there, though, that you pinpointed the right questions. That's a lot.
I hope I did, at least.
What is the average time a person spends in a contact point in Holland?
2 or 3 years. I can't remember anyone of my team over the last 5 years that I've... No, 3 years is the maximum. Yeah.
What are the mistakes he did?
What about 4 years?
4 years.
Is that max, minimum, or just...
Well, it's usually the thing you would say when you put them on. The idea being they take one whole class through in freshman to graduation. That'd be basic. And the thought behind that is just, in part, not just the skills of the ministry, but developing a finance base from which he can go overseas. Because he takes them all the way through, they graduate, go into industry, and hopefully they will be part of his finance base when he goes overseas. So that's the thought behind it. Some men are wrong, but some men go a little quicker, because they can time base that 2-3 years, and then they go overseas because they want them over there.
Well,
thank you.
Okay.
I was just thinking, do you have a suggestion for us? Should we have to do it twice again? Should we just, we know, you know, we're wrong, we got out, to be better. Is the sequence good to start with a building plan, community minister and this, or should we start with this? Any suggestion you have?
I have one more question, and that is, do you use this with the community ministry, or is there no reporting?
Not yet. But that, I can see that, especially the people that quit.
Right.
I have a suggestion for the first session this morning. I mean, I think if you could explain, you know, how we talked about Joe equipping James and so on. If that could be clear, why you were going through the bit about conversion and so on, I think that then
would be... And then just leave it the way it is, or is it better to start here and give a better idea of what to do, or...
Well,
if
you don't have an idea... I think my suggestion is, you come with an expectation more, I think, like this year. Like this session. My expectation was more like this session. And I think that most people, they have special expectations. So I think this was very helpful to me at this point. Maybe we have to check out our expectations, which we had.
One possibility would be to start with, as you did, but spend less time on that, more time on this session, and put the community minister at the end, third session. Because I think the community minister
mean, sometimes people have the wrong expectation because they don't read. The first section is, I'm sorry, how to equip disciples to become laborers.
Not to defend myself, but
that was what we had to do.
But the confusing part of it, yeah, is I thought I was in a workshop on how to follow. Because it wasn't very clearly...
So as long as we do that, yeah, then the first sentence should be this. Disciples. Yeah.
I think most people come to expect and spend more time on what we were talking about today.
Well, that's no problem. Let's then do it. Bob?
Yeah. I just want to say at the beginning, give an overview of what you're going to do in all three sessions.
Yeah.
And that would give them a perspective of what you're going to do. At least I didn't have that to begin with. And it would be easier to place what you're doing in that first session, knowing that the other things are coming.
Yeah.
Just take them back to the...
Today's then?
It's on that basis that they signed up.
Very helpful. But do you feel that we should just follow this or start with this? You know, it doesn't matter. I said, let's start with the third one.
Now, for me, it would have been helpful, I think, here, to begin with the third one.
Yes.
And then this one just did.
Yes.
And then if you go to that first one, show where it's fitting in to the whole structure, saying, now, this is what we're doing. We're working with this team leader. The staff man's working with his team leader. And this is what he's imparting.
Now, that was the question I asked. So you would say, let's start with this, then there is a good understanding how we go about it, and then you go down, what do you do with the laborers, and then you go up, what do you later on with the community people?
I had a misunderstanding. I expected this session here, based on the notes, I expected this session to address the question of how to prepare somebody for contact staff. And I think you addressed the question of how to take the contact staff to area rep.
Equipping all contact staff.
Yeah, I interpreted that to mean how to prepare somebody for contact staff.
So that, I'm sorry, because I think that's another selecting, no.
Do we really skip that? We really skipped.
Well, that's out.
If the first session is on V1 to VM, and this session is from contact staff to area rep, there's a gap in between. That's what I thought this session would address.
Thank you. Okay.